Welcome back to Heartfar Tales. We're back. We're back. It's us in recording studio. How are we, boys?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
You better.
Yeah. You've been better? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I won't burden you, but
I'm listener. Like, I'm not going to pretend this is like the best day of my life, but
it should be.
I've had better days.
Well, you've been married since we last recorded.
Yeah.
That's like, very true.
I think I'm legally obligated to say that was a better day.
Yeah.
This but thing, like, when somebody says I've been better, we're like, we're a work band. Like, I would hope.
There's, you know, like my wedding or the day Khan got a belt of giant strength. So,
yeah. If you're in the future, I think that's how time works. You are probably just binging this and it's been like no time at all for you. But it's been like a solid like 4 or 5 months. For us, real time?
Yeah, it's been half a year since I've been in this comfortable chair.
Yeah, so, you probably don't need a recap. But if you're new, because this is a G-drop, this is a nice jumping in point. If you want a recap, we've recorded another one. It's probably the episode before this. Go check that out if you want to kind of get up to date on the characters, the story, the world, all that kind of good stuff. But for now, we're just going to kick back in as if we've never left. And let's do a roll for a recap.
I need it.
Okay. Yeah, we all need it.
Let's hope I don't win this, because you're not getting a good recap out of me.
Yeah.
Things are not different in this world.
I got a 13.
Okay.
I got a 5.
Off you go, right?
How many of these? How many?
I can't remember winning one.
Ryan rolls really, really well in game, but really badly when it comes to recap.
So bad.
Yeah, let's just keep it short. We don't need to go on another date episode.
I mean,
nope.
Jesus, we got a lot of positive feedback about that episode.
No, we didn't. If you're still here after the episode, thank you. But yeah, take us away, Ryan and or Sid.
So Sid wakes up in the morning and, you know, we're about to start our adventure out.
Yeah.
And we're still in town, right?
We haven't left yet.
And a boy shows up with like a parcel, you know, knocks on the door and everything, and hands Sid a package.
Here's your package, Sid.
Sid's immediately concerned because he recognizes the handwriting as being from Herman, who is his mentor, if you're just joining us. Trained him in town and everything. He's a hermit that is a ranger.
Big guy.
Yeah. And there's a package from him, and it basically says in there,
Sid, every single entry you've made in your manual of monsters has the worst descriptions in the world for any type of beast or creature, and we really need you to put a little bit more effort into these and give a little bit more detail. So hopefully you could get some better understanding of things with this.
And I'm requesting an item from town. You told me I could request a couple.
I did?
So this is basically just going to be...
I said request, not just give yourself it. Don't get any ideas, Jim.
This is how this game works, right? Well, yeah, given your approval, all I'm wanting is a little thing that records conversations. Now, being in the setting, it'd probably have to be an orb or something, but I would really love if it was like a 1980s, like...
You can believe it's like a 1980s like dictaphone kind of thing. Yeah, I think you can have that. It's not going to be like a spy movie clandestine
kind of thing.
Like it's like, it'd be something that, you know, you're like, I'm going to, you know, put it on the table. You'd be like, oh, they're recording interview with Bren and Melody or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so going to practice that.
I need to get used to using this.
Yes, this is a recap.
A recap? We're getting there. Look, the more
I'm gonna give him weighted dice for next.
The more I have to do these, the more creative we're getting. And I go, hey, Bren.
Oh, me? Yes. Hi. Sorry, I was washing my hair. Go on.
So, gonna do an interview with you. So,
oh, is that anything like an outerview,
Bren? So, starting interview with Bren Skellig.
Yes,
Bren,
you
please
just said
tell
that
me,
to
me about yourself and what has happened in the past few days. So yeah, fuck you, Jim. Now you do the recap.
Okay. You asked for it. Okay, well, let me see. I started out the Monday, threw the ring on, got someone I didn't like at all.
What's the ring?
Now, this thing doesn't have context, does it? So let me start even further back. Now, Melody and I traveled to town to meet you. Hi, Melody. How are you?
Can I join in? I kind of feel left out.
No, this is my interview.
Oh.
Yes. Unfortunately, okay. I think there can only be one person, am I right?
Yeah, there's only two inputs, I guess.
Yes, sorry. And it's me and Fink on this
typically
job.
The two guys starting a podcast without me.
Yeah. Tree tieflings start a podcast. So I arrived in town with Melody here, who's just off camera. She's doing our post-editing. Hi, Melody. Basically, I initially had disguised myself as some kind of flamboyant lord, but no, not me at all. No, I'm far more grounded than that.
What are you?
Jesus, Sid.
off mic, you hear, you can't just ask people what they are.
You can't just ask somebody what they are.
It's for the manual.
Am I a fucking monster to you?
It's all the things. I've got Son and Blake in here too.
Entirely unprofessional, but fine, whatever. I'm red with horns. There's no word for me yet, is there?
No.
I'm going to coin a name for myself at some point in the near future. So
nice.
Just listener, check back. Check the fantasy Instagram later on, please. So I arrived in town with Melody dressed as a flamboyant lord. We met you. You were on the drink for the first time ever. Couldn't hold it for the life of you. Met Fink. Nice character. Scary, intimidating. I like that about him. Not long after that,
Is a giant rat, dear listener.
Yes, sorry. Imagine my surprise when the third party member came out and he was quite a large rodent. Put away the apple cider vinegar like a champion, though. So, not long after that, Fortune came calling and we ended up fighting a baby little wormling, a kind of a dragony thing, some kind of big scaly boy. Very dramatically, I found itself inside the thing's jaws. Thankfully, my managed to keep the jaws open with my rod. You weren't much help in the beginning. Hiding in a bush. Looked like you had a lot of practice in hiding in bushes, actually. It was very well performed. And then not long after that, after we fought the dragon, you carried it back over your head like some kind of unhinged maniac. And then you disappeared, so I don't know what happened. You went into the big building with all the books. However, Melody and I had a time. We had an adventure. I'll spare you, listener, the ins and outs of our adventure because I fear it might be somewhat incriminating. Suffice it to say, town will never be the same. And I do suggest that we leave post-haste.
Oh, yes, no, we need to leave.
All right. Yeah, thanks very much.
Hot boy. I'm a hot boy.
Hot boy. Hot ones.
Yes.
Yeah, so that and the only thing not included in that recap, thank you very much, Jim, is that Sid went in, did his, he met with the elders of town, went and, you know, town, for those that are new to joining us, is basically a beacon of knowledge and learning in Lethwan. And
it's a cloister of nerds as well.
You know, they have a very strong belief that all knowledge needs to be shared freely. You know, everybody needs to have all this. And so he basically met with the elders about some things he had learned and then was sent down to meet with a giant mythical beast where he was given a bunch of knowledge and tasks that he's not supposed to share with anyone. Sid is starting to have a hard time grappling with that.
Yeah, Sid probably is having a hard time grappling with that. Thankfully, you had been distracted kind of right after your presentation and your little meeting with Rikara.
The date! Turn back on the machine! Turn back on the machine!
No. That's not part of me.
And you'd gone on a date with Olivia. It had gone. And
Olivia was gone come the end of it.
What?
I don't know what that means.
She walked out the door. Oh, she was gone.
No, they went on a walk together at the end.
No,
it was actually a nice little salvage.
No, they did. I'm pretty sure Olivia.
She took your jacket and walked out.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but remember they went at the end. They were outside of the place, and he said that he just wanted to go on a walk with her. Yes, I listened to it just 2 days ago.
No, she said that would be nice. Then she took your jacket and left.
Yeah, she took my jacket, but that was outside of the place where that happened.
I don't think it was.
It was standing outside of it.
I think there's a lot of how you wish that had gone.
Yeah. Playing it was standing outside of it. It really was.
Anyway, if you've one of the people who have been binging this, you can correct Ryan or us, but you can correct Ryan. You finish your date. You've all kind of headed back to your mom's house in town, Ashling, one of the dreamers of town. And yeah, you've all kind of got an early night. It's, you know, big day tomorrow. You're kind of setting out for, you know, this adventure. You know, Melody has informed you that Michaela has requested you go to Azumakia, the capital city there of Dolanath, where there's a big battle of bands happening, basically because Michaela seems to want you to spy on the Hoots Force a bit and kind of get close to them, see what's going on. Cid obviously has his own secret agenda that he's yet to tell anyone. But yeah, it's the next morning. You've kind of just had your little impromptu podcast. As you're kind of doing that, you're kind of having to stop occasionally as there's lots of like hustle and bustle downstairs as your mom is fixing up some breakfast for you. She doesn't want you to leave on an empty stomach. She wants you to be well fed. Mm. And but yeah, you're all kind of like sitting down, eating, kind of getting all your bits together. What's that kind of look like? How's everyone kind of feeling on this, like, you know, morning of the big adventure?
Well, I'm having trouble getting flavor from the food, you see, so I've started dusting it with the coal from the bottom of the oven.
Now, that's the darndest thing. I mean, what is that?
Well, you know...
Is that some sort of, like, I don't know, Azumakian pepper or something you gotten?
No, actually, Azumakian spices are still relatively tame to my particular palate. No, unfortunately, I have the devil of a time actually grasping flavor from things. I have found, though, if I dust it with a bit of salt, coal, you know, something... of the fire, I enjoy it a lot more.
Okay,
salt would.
I think it's tieflings have thing. Infernal constitution. So
tieflings have infernal constitution; they can't get drunk and stuff. But it's more Bren just has like a super muted palate, so he's like he'd be like hyping, like putting the biggest spice he can on something. Yeah, you know? That's why he drinks apple cider vinegar, because it's like a slap in the mouth.
And yeah, so what's the what do your preparations look like?
You know, Cid's been a ranger for a long time now, very well trained in it. So like, very very organized packing of all like the clothes and everything, tight little roll on items, you know, and stuff. Everything perfectly packed and organized. For as much as Cid seems very chaotic, these very organized traits have been beat into him basically, and. So if you were to go into his room right now, he's got everything laid out and he's perfectly packing and indexing and everything, you know.
Bren is like just walking across the top of all that, like, hey, what's this one? And you like pick up a sheet and like, what is this? A big worm, stronger, can be lifted by one northern gentleman. No, that's not interesting. And he'd throw it away. What's this one? And he'd pick it up and it's like, a fish person. That's very interesting. Absolutely just making a complete mess of it.
You're touching the book?
Yes.
That wasn't a brain question. That was a me asking Jim question. You're touching the book?
Yeah, I'm very interested in it.
Oh my God, so you want to learn about this stuff? Oh my God. Okay, come here. So these are the guys that we met on the first time. So if you look at this section, it's entirely about everything that has been
Melody impacted by some type of room.
Like magical impact. And yeah, now these are just regular mutations that we've seen where it's, you know, just another type of animal, but this is where it seems like another type of mythical animal mixed in with it. This is where we have three types of animals mixed in, but every type of mutation that we're seeing seems to be something combined with it, not
have
just
you,
a growth
sorry,
in
have
some
you ever
other
seen
way.
Four animals mixed together?
At least three.
Three, I think, is the max.
Have you ever seen a cow?
What was the body of the Prydra?
Oh, of the Prydra? The Prydra was just like a big mountain lion with multiple heads.
Oh no, not the Prydra. The
Chimera?
Prydra, that's
the
dumb
the
name.
Dumb one with the scorpion head, which I realized.
Yeah.
I remember you describing
guys,
that.
Like, honestly, I clearly scorpion didn't head. I clearly didn't think that one through. So like
a fucking
he's just a shoulder.
Knob on its shoulder.
Whatever you think like the body was of that, it could be. I don't care.
A ghastly face on its shoulder.
I put all the effort into that, into the stats, and I didn't even think about what it began to look like.
I just remember
the
look on
tail.
Your face when we saw, I wish we had cameras there, but I was like, head of a scorpion, you were suddenly, your eyes are just like, oh God.
Anyway. And look, that's all very interesting. Is this a book you were writing?
Yeah, so this is the first thing of it, but this is what I was told, that all of my descriptions don't give enough detail, so that's why I need to start interviewing other people that have seen it, and if I can interview them,
have you got a page here for me from the interview we just did?
I do!
I want to see it right now, please.
Well, this is what I've been writing all kinds of stuff in.
And so I flip it to you, and there's about 6 drawings of, like, different forms that you've taken since you were there, with a big circle around the red one.
No. This one isn't good for the street cred. I'm going to just, like, snip my fingers together once or twice to get a little bit of flame and soot and just soot it out with my finger. I'll be like, no, my hair isn't like that naturally, and give myself, like, a much cooler quiff than I have in real life. Please, get it right. Come on, these things, they affect your reputation.
Sid's okay with this.
Does it say hot boy?
It just says devil man on there right now.
It's extremely reductive. Hold on. Snap, brain, soot. And hot boy in, like, soot on the page. All right, look, we'll revisit this. I think I hear your mother calling us downstairs because the DM is sweating narrative stalling.
I don't care.
Sorry, you finish your narrative preparation, please.
Yeah, so
Sid just continues to go on taking you through. Just as much as you want to listen to, he is thrilled over the moon with the fact that you're actually wanting to listen to this. And so the more he gets talking and realizing that you're not cutting him off like most people do, he kind of starts slowing down as he's speaking. Because most people, he's trying to get out as much information as he can. Before they stop. But you're actually, like, paying attention. So then he sits down and takes you through the entire way that he's indexing things.
Bren is completely lost focus on this, but doesn't want to be rude. This is the most anyone's ever spoken to him. So he's, like, smiling and nodding.
Melody, I imagine, probably comes in and saves you around the 5th page on Fink.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And behind Melody is Ashling, and Melody kind of gives you a look, Bren, and they're like, Bren, I think Ashling just wants a word with her son there, if we can.
Of course. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, with her son. So she wanted to talk to me. Okay. I'm going to go out, and while they're doing that, Bren is just going to practice, like, his karate. So he's going to just be, like, drilling katas and doing his, like, exercises and stuff to keep fit. So, you know, I'll do, like, whatever.
All,
like,
I can picture sit-ups, is Randall now.
Of course.
Like,
yeah. Sure.
When you practice karate, I'm sure Randall.
Randall.
Your monk comes into the room.
My monk teacher, Ralph.
Ralph. Well, that's obviously canon there.
Oh, God.
It's Rafe Mokio.
Rafe Mokio.
We've ruined every podcast.
Yeah, just like effort not interrupting you guys.
Yeah.
Your mom comes in.
Hi, Mom.
Sid. And she's like, oh, hi, Sid.
Hi, Ashling.
Bren, I did ask if you could just give us a moment.
Yeah, I'm saying goodbye. It's polite.
Okay, goodbye, Ashley. Yeah, I'll see you in, like, just a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, since you already said, I thought you just popped back.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how are you?
I just come back in to say bye.
Don't break any of my stuff, okay? Do your karate bits outside.
I have Melody throwing plates in the air, and I'm, like, jump kicking them.
Just use those fancy ones.
I see you got your little talkie device from Herman there.
Yeah, to try and get a little bit more detail and remember things a bit better.
I think that's his, but, you know, he doesn't really talk much, so he probably doesn't need it.
Just uses it to listen, I guess.
Yeah. I'd like to give you this. It's I'm not really sure I should be giving you it, but I know it is mine, but it's mine, you know, from virtue of being a dreamer. I'd like you to have it if that's okay.
Sure. What is it?
You know, we're not ones for fancy names in town. We just call it the Circlet of the Dreamer.
That's a fancy fucking name.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is, I guess, but it's also just incredibly straight to the point. It's a circlet, and we dreamers wear it. We kind of use it to amplify our dream abilities.
All right.
I've seen you, you know, kind of spinning those psychic blades of yours around. You might be able to kind of use it a little bit to amplify your natural abilities. So she gives you what is, in actual D&D terms, the Crown of the Wrathbringer.
Oh, nice.
So basically, you're able to use your draw from your own psychic abilities to empower your attacks, but at the cost of your own kind of like...
My hit dice.
Hit dice, yeah. Essentially.
I've got 8 of those. Woo! 5 yeah. of them are D10s.
But you nice. Will take damage.
Like, do I take damage or do I give up my hit dice?
I will check that afterwards because it's not incredibly clear from the context of the text of the item.
Okay.
But we will come to a decision on that.
I'm fine with either
yeah.
one. Yeah.
Tell you what, I'm going to say right now, it costs you health as well.
As well.
So like you roll your hit dice, that's used, and you take that much health because I'm going to give you an additional ability.
Okay.
And
I was like, that is a fucking feeling big nerve. So yeah, what's going on here?
So one of the big abilities that the dreamers in town use is to kind of like look into the dream theater to be able to kind of like find things, find people and stuff yeah. like that. You can cast once per day, either the locate object or the locate person spell.
Oh shit.
By basically kind of like, what's the Professor X's like
Cerebro.
like a mini Cerebro you can do to like basically amplify into the dream theater.
Does he
like
have to do plane. The Professor X pose to use
has
it?
To, yeah. Yeah. It actually has two little buttons by the side oh, that, yeah. you, that you have to press.
All yeah. the circles come out.
Nice.
Yeah, so she gives you that.
Sid has so many items.
Yeah, Sid's yeah, fucking walking that, inventory.
It requires attunement.
Okay.
So just, you're going to attune 3 things, so you might need to figure out what you want attuned.
I don't know what other things I have attuned.
He's trying to get rid of that belt.
The belt is attunement, the ring is attunement, and your cloak is attunement as well.
You have a magic cloak?
Yeah. It's the spider.
Oh, the spider silk. Yeah.
Well, I'll de-attune my ring because I don't really remember what the ring of gnomish yeah. gnomes gnomes does. Oh.
It was the Duergar one, but yeah, sure.
No, no. That's fucking gnomes. It lets you go invisible and teleport behind people like a weeb.
Yeah, it's a weeb ring.
Yeah, or de-attuning that.
It's ridiculously OP. You can turn into a giant. Oh, okay, fine.
Oh, whatever. Wait, it's the one that lets me... Oh, wait, yeah.
It lets you teleport. It lets you go invisible.
Yeah.
I thought you could turn into a giant.
Oh, you could do all those things with it?
If I recall yeah, correctly, you have, it was another life ago.
Yeah, you would need to... I need to look it up, but basically you can use one or the other. Either you can cast enlarge on yeah. yourself, or you can use... Because they're both the Duergar abilities of casting enlarge or going invisible. So that's your...
So... After a while of Sid trying to chase Fink around to try and let him put the ring on his finger,
yeah,
he finally gives up and just goes and gives it to Bryn.
Okay. Bryn, you've got that ring again.
Nice.
Hey, or Jim has it.
Two rings now. Yeah.
You need to be careful with this, though. This belonged to...
I go invisible.
This belonged to Khan.
I don't know how it works.
I know you're still here, so you can't get out of this conversation.
I'm behind you now.
This belongs to a good friend, but there's no use just me wearing it for jewelry right now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Nice hat.
Thanks.
I have a hat.
Okay.
All right.
My hat comes from Azumaki. It has a little... An Azumakian hat has a little mirror here that points to the sky because they're always afraid of dragons flying over. So they have a little mirror on the edge of their hat that looks up. It's like an old tradition that they didn't drop.
World building.
Fuck. He can have anything he wants about town, but I can't have a hat. I can't have a single fucking hat. This is a hat I invented. It has a little mirror on it so I can see when a dragon is above me.
I love it. It's just...
So was that a yes and, or was that just a flat no? Dylan?
No, it was a. I'm stunned to silence, but I'm not saying no. I'm not
the
saying
DM
no.
The DM was so stunned he could barely fucking speak. Okay,
I
fine.
Like it.
I like
it.
No, it's Jim. Gone. It's changed Jim. Now. I have one of those sushi chef bandanas on there. That's what you got.
All right.
I'm okay with that. That's fine.
It has a little mirror. And it has a little mirror like
because
a pair of climbing
gloves. They love cycling, so they need to be safe.
It's because when I run real fast, I put my head down and I can still see the road ahead of me.
With both arms out behind you.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Jim, what had you requested? Oh, we're going to say that last night you basically had put in requests like to like the town, for want of a better word, quartermaster. It's like someone who would kind of like you know, not controlled inventory, but someone who would have, you know, records of the things in town that, you know, might be able to be loaned out or whatever. So,
well, initially I was stubborn because I thought I was going to get a book or something, and I didn't want that. So then I told them that I would really like to be more mobile and fast, because I kick punch hard, but I need to move faster. I'm like Sonic the Hedgehog. Gotta go fast. So I had asked for mobility, you know, because I very recently found myself trapped inside the jaws of a large dragon. Played it cool at the time, but was a little nervous. So I would not like to find myself in the jaws of something again.
Yeah, you go to, like, they have like a dual course for like blacksmiths and enchanters, where, like, you know, the blacksmiths will make items out of mithril, which are more easily enchanted, and the enchanters will then work on them. Yeah, you kind of like meet with this, we'll say like this, like, little
artificer boy.
Yeah, an artificer boy, a little dwarf. He's like
a dwartificer.
Yeah, dwartificer. And he's like, oh, so you wanna go fast, do you?
I want to go fast as the raging river. And I need to maintain all the force of a great typhoon, you see.
Ah, force, is it?
And with this new ring, I'm mysterious as the dark side of the moon.
Okay, well, I'll give you another ring if you want. Yeah. Do you like rings?
In for a fucking penny, I suppose.
Goddamn fucking Sonic over.
My strongest ability is going to be my backhand at this rate.
Please, like, give him rings, and if he takes damage, he goes, ring!
Holy fuck, I'm actually on my way to the 10 rings.
Look, I got a choice of two for you, if you want. One, you can kind of just, you know, zip about and you're kind of, you'd be silent and stuff. But the other ones makes a lot of loud noise. But if you zip from a spot, the people in that spot won't be happy that you left. I'll tell you that.
Why are you being vague about the ability to get these rings? You're a craftsman.
You can either choose from a ring of Misty Step or a ring of Thunder Step.
Please use Thunder Step. I don't think I've ever seen somebody use
that. I don't know what Thunder Step is, but I kind of
Thunder Step is basically
Misty Step. I disappear with a bang.
But it's a really loud bang, and it does, I think, 3d10 thunder damage to whatever you would Misty Step from.
Is it just
and
that?
And that's going to be a once a day.
And how many times is a Misty Step?
3 times a day.
But bang. But big boom.
But I, oh.
But big boom.
I am paralyzed with indecision, because both of those things sound wonderful. Tell me this. I have here in my pocket several platinum that I robbed from a good friend yesterday. Give me both. He's from town. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah. It takes me a while to melt them down and make a new ring.
All right, hold on. Give me the ring of Thunderstep, please.
You have a ring of Thunderstep.
Fucking boom, boom, shake the room. Let's go.
They were originally boots, but you made too many ring and Sonic puns, so that's why it's a ring now.
Okay, sick. Now Brent has 3 rings.
Yeah.
I am low-key loving this. Yeah. Am I attuned to my rings?
I would imagine at least.
The ring you got from Sid, yes. That requires attunement. And I'm going to say, yeah, your other one probably requires attunement too.
The Thunder Boomer.
No. I'd say Thunder Boomer, it's one today. You don't need attunement for that, but your disguise alter self one needs.
Because it's held all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Because it's quite a powerful ring in what it does.
That's fair. And actually, while we're on the topic of that ring, I go around the corner, take it off, put it on again, and come back and be like, hello, I'm looking for rings.
Sure.
What have you got?
Well, I mean,
I'm only required to give rings out for free to these people.
Yeah, have you got?
Oh, it was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it was like a work order put through.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm only joking. It's me. I take it off again. Right, thanks for the booming ring. Bye. I walk back to the guys.
Okay, yeah, you guys have gotten all your goodies. You all kind of meet in front of your mom's house, Sid. And yeah, you're about ready to go. Is there any last minute things you want to do, or people you want to talk to, anything like that, before you head out on your big overland journey towards?
Sid's absolutely going to be mapping out, you know, the exact path and things like that.
Sure,
not
yeah,
just
yeah.
wandering
yep.
toward that direction. Like, the way to, especially if we can avoid roads and things, you know.
Yeah, so I think
Sid didn't like them.
In the last episode, you're basically kind of given the choice between taking the highways, which would have been like a very, very quick journey, but would have taken you true Valegar. So you basically would have gone south.
Yeah.
Or
and we chose the way.
You could have gone east down towards Valegar and then out east. Or now this way you'll still have to pass over the highways, but it's literally just kind of like a like a bypass, kind of like jump over them and keep going.
We chose the way that avoided highways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so basically to not travel them. So yeah, you and like you've ranged around these parts. This is where you learned how to be a ranger. You know, you would not, it'd be very, very typical for you to go for a week, a month, all around this kind of a surrounding area. So you know this place like the back of your hand. It's your hometown. So yeah, you've plotted out your course and you head off unless there's anything else.
No, I guess I'll just take a nice cup and go.
On the way out, the little mailbox that's, you know, by the end, like the little post box or whatever, Sid's gonna slip a little letter into it.
Okay.
Sorry, we're saying goodbye to Sun and them as well, are we?
Sun, don't come with us!
No, it's okay. I know she needs to go back with her brother.
Yeah. You're saying goodbye to pretty much everyone.
Okay.
The three of us.
Yeah.
Brent's just gonna check in on Sun then as well. Keep your head down. You keep yourself safe. Yeah.
Yeah. She kind of projects like emotions of calmness and stuff in, like towards you to kind of let you know that like everything's gonna be all right.
And what do we do in a new place?
She like puts up her hood.
Atta girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, I'll see you soon and heads on back to the carriage.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you guys head off
on the road again.
You're on just the road again.
Just can't wait to get on the road again. You have that one here too.
Sid gives a description of like the lyrics, but they're not at all the flowery ones that you're used to. They're like, you know, all the town lyrics are changed to being. There's nothing made up. You know, there's no like. A certain number of people went out traveling.
No, that's no good. The Azumakian one goes, on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I find love is making Warcraft with my friends. Because they like fighting.
Yeah. I get it, they do.
Yeah.
You start walking. On the road again, you start walking. And it's pretty uneventful for the first day anyway. You're... nothing in particular is happening.
Can I scavenge for leaves on the way?
Let me find the rules I have for those. But yeah.
He always forgets that he gave me a leaf book.
I don't, but you never use it, so I never have it prepared.
I've used almost all my leaves.
We can say you've had a chance. Like, that can be part of, like, the prep. And stuff that you
while
did.
I'm hanging out with Herman,
yeah,
stuff like that. Yeah.
That kind of that's absolutely no problem. So tell you what, give me a D6.
Here you go.
Oh no, sorry. You can.
Ooh, very, right. Very townish of you.
Yeah.
3.
Okay, so you got 3. Just the basic healing potions, and they give me a D4.
One.
One of the next one up, and then one of the third level. I can't remember what that's called. I think that's the... I always get superior and supreme.
Yeah.
Mix up whatever the third tier is.
Small, medium, and big.
Yeah. And then extra large. Easier.
Supersize potion.
Supersize potion. So I'm going to say that kind of represents the kind of like foraging and scavenging you're able to do, and then also you're kind of able to refine some of your actual alchemy... skills while you're in town as well. In the kind of like, you weren't able to get a load done because you're mainly prepping for your thesis presentation, but you kind of got, you know, ready to leave some bubbling away. You are scouting out. You can scavenge for more things if you want, for more just like straight up leaves.
Yeah, I mean, mostly what I want to do is, you know, if there's some animals or anything like that, like basically... sit down and ask some of them if
you know, speak with animals now.
Not speak with animals, but rangers can always convey thoughts and like ideas with animals, and they can convey them back and they understand that you're a kindred spirit.
Sure.
So basically asking them if there's been anything weird they've seen around. You know, there's a normal, especially closer to town we are, like the animals would basically know us.
Yeah, for sure. And like I'm gonna say a little bit...
Tommy the Woodchuck.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit kind of Snow White-esque in that a lot of animals probably know you personally. You probably know
every
them.
Every time I read the ranger thing, I'm like, fucking Snow White. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, no role required for this one. And the general kind of like vibe you get really is that a lot of the small animals and things were very worried about the monster that you guys killed only like 2 days ago.
Okay.
And that seems to be kind of like the biggest...
threat they've
yeah
trying new to, like, threat yeah.
gossip on the woodland streets, you know, is this big beastie. But you're able to kind of like,
yeah, and by the way, don't give me too much detail, it's supposed to just be basic
and that's idea. Like, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you kind of get this a lot through kind of like that they were hiding a lot and they kind of conveyed those on, it was like very very recently, and you're kind of just able to intuit that like, okay, well yeah, I just killed something that was eating wildlife yeah. around here. So,
and as we're going through reaching areas that I'm normally not in, just kind of basically trying to convey to the animals like, hey, you know, we're not here to hunt or anything like that, we're just
okay. Yeah, you do that no problem. Kind of a general day goes by and you start putting up camp for the night.
Can I roll to try and catch an animal like with my hands?
Yeah, give me I guess just a straight up dexterity.
Not 20.
20. Yeah, because they're not worried about us, because I just told them we're not going to try and catch them.
Yeah. What animal
a
would
badger.
You...
A badger. I yeah. catch a badger, and I bring it over to the seat. I'm like, have you got this one in your book? Like holding it right up to your face.
It does not like being held.
It's black and white.
I'm so sorry.
It makes noises.
I'm so sorry.
Why are you sorry? I brought you this.
The badger looks quite calm, actually.
Okay. He's my friend. I told you, I can speak with animals.
Yeah. All right. You okay, buddy? Or...
Yes,
okay?
I'm fine.
Not you!
Look, if you lift this leg, this arm moves to balance it. Do you see this? He's like a monk too, aren't you, buddy? I call him Graham.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Badgers are already in very old editions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, off you pop, Graham. Put him down.
Kind of stands there for a bit. Kind of looks up over you.
I give it just, a little yeah, snack thing.
Yeah. Then kind of like just like does a weird like badger shrug of its shoulders and walks away. Just completely like nonplussed by the situation.
Good guy that, Graham.
I like your speediness there to catch a badger.
Oh yeah, I'm fast as fuck. Badgers can't see me coming.
Yeah, you guys settle down for the night. You make your camp. Give me... Actually, no.
I want to keep some of my dice. You can't have all of them.
What?
Give me.
Oh. Oh, okay. I didn't realize we were recycling bad jokes.
great jokes.
I think it's one of those jokes that's like a shit cheese gets better with age.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, the more we do this each time to you, the better it will get.
Yeah. Will it?
We'll see. We're going to see either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys settle down, start making a camp, which I've said for like 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah.
And you see kind of in the general direction of where you're traveling and where you've kind of plotted out, Sid, not like directly on the road, but near enough to it, maybe about, and it's like a clear, I think we're in autumn now. It's like a clear kind of like autumn night, still a little bit warm, not too chilly. Sky is like, you know, nice and like, it's still kind of bright in the evenings, but about maybe 30 miles away or so to the southeast, there is a large thunderstorm.
Okay.
That seems to be not moving, seems to be like rather localized. You kind of like wait like an hour or so kind of see if it's going to blow in, you know, towards you. It doesn't. Lasts maybe 3-4 hours and then seems to stop.
You ever see something like that?
No, it doesn't seem to be matching with the weather patterns either.
I just meant in general, but... Should we avoid that? That looked scary and dangerous. Not that I'm scared, but, you know, a kid like you could get, you know, hurt in a storm like that.
I'm fine, Bren.
Okay, look, I'm just looking out for you.
Make sure you look out for yourself as well there, Bren.
Fuck me, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine too.
All right, well, everybody's fine.
I'm fine too. Yeah, we're all fine?
Yeah, we know you're fine, Melody.
Yeah, thanks. Melody.
Sorry, Melody, I didn't mean to shout at you.
I didn't shout at you, so...
Yeah, okay, well,
All right, so what's our plan? Where... Azumaki is that way.
I'm going to go over to a bush or whatever if there's little critters around.
Sure.
You want me to do that? I can catch them real good.
No. We don't need to grab any.
Okay. I put down the weasel.
Yeah, just get an idea if that thunderstorm's been there. Like, are they scared of that area? Are they staying away from that area? Is there?
You go over. I'm going to say for this one, give me an animal handling check.
Yeah.
This is kind of.
It's also quite a complex idea to try.
Yeah, exactly.
That's 27.
Ranger bullshit.
Wow. Okay. 27. Expertise. So you're basically what exactly you're trying to ask here?
Oh, I just want to find out if like that's been an area that they've been avoiding. Like, is it a dangerous spot? You know, like for a long time. Like, is this a new development of this storm, or is it a storm that never goes away?
How do I get this in like basic?
A crossing chipmunk. Is it no longer an area they scavenge? Is it not a scavenging area? If it's a fox, is like, it not it, a hunting ground
it is
anymore?
Like 30 miles away. This is probably outside his range.
Way
beyond kind of like a typical kind of.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with being like that's.
But
not many animals are going to be checking.
Yeah,
that out.
With a 27, I will say that they do seem.
Birds might.
I was about to say, do you want me to boom up there and get you a bird?
It's okay. We can probably try and whistle one down.
I'm going to say with your 27, yeah, sure, you can ask a bird. I think that's...
Hi, bird.
That's fine. Yeah, it responds by whistling. I wish I could whistle.
I'll do your whistling for you. Yeah, you just pretend.
No, I don't want to, because I don't really know speak with animals, so it's more just...
Yeah. Perfect. You see, actually, that it's maybe a couple of hours into this thunderstorm.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to say it's maybe towards the end of it, and you see that there are a few birds that have come your way, kind of fleeing it.
Okay.
You know? And the general vibe you've gotten from, like, the weasel that Bren had caught was that, like...
Badger. It was a badger.
No, you just caught a weasel.
Oh, I caught a weasel too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guys, pay attention. Come on.
Poor weasel.
He weaseled out of it.
Was that, like, the weasel was scared of it. And you even see, like, Fink is a little bit... He's not scared, but he's, like, looking at it kind of, like, distrustingly.
Hey, buddy, I don't think there's anything to be worried about, because maybe we can feed you some electricity, too.
Fink kind of like...
Sorry, you feed him electricity?
Oh, we fed him, like, a bunch of elements, and now he's like a fire rat.
What? Really? Show me.
Yeah,
Fink, show me.
Actually, he doesn't have fire. Does he have fire?
Yeah, he does.
I'm pretty sure he has
water,
fire.
Rock, air.
And fire.
Oh, it was fire the other one?
Yeah.
He's just missing electricity.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's cool. Me too, bud. I burn up my hand a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, I'm going to pet him with my fire hand. Is that all right?
Fink is so excited about this, and I just love the idea that you just run around being fire. Yeah.
We're fire bros.
If you had Speak With Animals on right now, you would hear Fink being like, yes, we are hot boys.
Yeah, you and me, hot boys till the end, Fink. I toss him a little bit of fire.
He eats it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but Fink kind of like looks at it distrustingly. You know, this kind of weasel is a bit kind of like weird about it. And then, you know, maybe like an half hour after the storm kind of clears up, you know, some birds have kind of reached this far by now, you know, and you manage to kind of like whistle one down and it kind of like
convey distress.
You got 27.
You don't need to give me too much. It literally says
it's well an owl.
I know, well, an owl.
You got 27 and is like insanely intelligent.
No, I'm
it's an owl bear. It can speak.
Yeah, I'll say it's an owl. That's fine. This owl looks a little buff. What? And you get the feeling that it's scared of whatever was there, and is running away.
Bren feels emasculated by this buff owl.
But look, it's actually mostly feathers. And I squish it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen an owl?
Yeah, they're super skinny.
Yeah.
I like to think
its legs are fairly meaty.
When you like squish this one buff owl, it's actually not feathers. It's just
Yeah. Then it flexes at you and flies away.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
Brenda's push-ups.
But yeah, It's going to get late. Is there anything else you want to do? Any more critters you want to talk to? Anything like that? Or are you just going to settle down for the night?
I'm ready to settle.
You guys wake up in the morning. No weird dreams or anything like that.
Aw, nice.
And you head out. You would know, Sid, that you've been kind of, you know, there's no big rush on your journey at the moment. You have, I think I said, like 2 months to get to Azumakia. Plenty of time. Your journey will only maybe take half that. I think it was like 4 weeks if you go overland, 2 weeks if you take the highways, basically.
Yeah.
And so you guys haven't been trying to, like, you know, push and go for a big kind of, you know, fast pace. But you would know that this kind of, like, where you saw this thunderstorm over this kind of, like, patch of forest down to the southeast would be, like, if you really, really pushed, you could make there by night. If not, it would probably be the next morning. It would be, like, maybe 5-6 miles. Like, you get there by still, like, mid-morning or something. So you kind of have a choice to basically push fast or continue a steady pace. What would you like to do?
Yeah, I don't like giving up our stealth, but, you know,
if you want to arm wrestle for it.
Yeah, fine, let's go.
No, I'm just kidding. No,
Brian already has his elbow on the carriage.
Yeah, no, if you want to go, it might be fun. Yeah, let's arm wrestle.
Let's go.
Yeah, you guys find like a... I just assume you're just like straight up walking here.
Yeah, I was just kind of, I've just been walking beside the cart.
Yeah, I don't think you have a cart or anything. You're just walking.
I fully thought we had a cart. I'm so sad. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's feasible that you could have requested a cart if you want.
Yeah.
You've got no way. You'd have to be pulling it yourself.
I mean, Sid just got his backpack.
Yeah.
Sid wouldn't want a cart. Sid wouldn't have anything he wants to put
you
in
probably
a cart.
Like, a cart probably is not going to suit the travel you're going to be doing because
we're avoiding the roads.
Shit. Yeah.
I think we brought a cart and Bren got tired trying to pull it, like, immediately and just abandoned it outside of town. I was going to keep all the fucking treasure in there. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Give me strength checks.
Nice. My -1 will see me through this. I got a 2.
I've got a dirty 20.
Yeah, you absolutely destroyed him. Just like...
I wasn't ready.
There was not even any resistance.
Immediately. So much so I have to do an aerial cartwheel and land on my feet over there.
Yeah.
Well, that was probably lessons learned on my behalf. Okay, you're real strong.
Yeah, it has all to do with the training I received from a real strong guy and then the belt he gave me.
Right, cool. Sure, whatever. Next time, let's do a jumping contest, shall we?
Hey, you agreed to it. I did.
I mean, look, I lost fair and square. I'm just saying, I wasn't
ready.
And
what was the outcome of this?
That we moved southerly.
Okay, you...
I think he would have been fine either way, but I turned it into a competition.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I'm fully up for it. Like,
you continue your kind of normal pace, and again, it's a fairly uneventful. Like, you're still relatively close to town and civilization. Mm. You've probably, like, even, like, gone through a couple of, like, smaller villages, or you probably wouldn't have gone through, but you've maybe kind of, like, skirted around. Like, yeah. There's still, like, kind of, like, some semblance of civilization.
Yeah, and in all these small towns, we introduced ourselves as the band
Brenny and the Jets. What? I mean, what do you expect from me?
Yeah, okay.
So you're kind of going there. You make camp again for the night. Give me perception checks.
Hell yeah, dog.
There's no big lightning storm again. But
that's a 19 for me.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a 22.
Okay, with a 22, you're getting closer to this kind of where this area of forest was, and you're still a bit away
from the meteorological anomaly.
Yes.
Yes.
It's gone like on the other side of a town, basically, or like a small village from where you are. But as you kind of settle down and are kind of like now fully paying attention and... as you've been walking along, you know, these like forest paths and things like that, kind of get a good glimpse of where this thunderstorm was. And you could swear that the trees are now noticeably taller.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm having a hard time thinking because I just keep thinking that it's a meaty or logical anomaly.
I'm so happy for you.
Take it out of my head.
I'll do this bit then.
Is it a meaty anomaly or is it a logical anomaly?
Hey, Melody.
Yeah?
Sid looks kind of confused, but can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do those trees seem bigger to you or are they just closer?
That's always a tough one.
I know yesterday they were far away.
Yeah.
And they do, but they seem even a little bigger than they should from this closer vantage point.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I don't know a whole lot about nature, but Sid seems like he's like a million miles away right now for some reason.
He just keeps saying meaty.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Sid's coming back to Earth.
I think that buff owl really just messed with his head.
Yeah, I mean, look, I felt invalidated by the thing, but it seems to have really knocked him for zog.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about nature, but I mean, like, some of these, you know, you'd expect all the kind of trees in the forest to be roughly the same kind of, like, height, right? Especially in the same area, maybe?
Fucked if I know.
But, like, there's ones that kind of just, like, are a bit taller. That seems weird.
So, there's one or two things that could happen. Either we got real nice nutrients in the ground, and it's making things grow stronger and better, or there is a time gate here, and 100 years have passed!
Okay. I mean,
just saying.
I guess that's plausible.
We are in a magical land. Either one could happen.
They're the only two options.
I mean, it is binary. I take him at his word.
For two reasons. Good eating and lots of sleeping.
You can't just like stretch a tree, right? You can't just pull a tree. And
maybe a gum tree.
Yeah.
Like a rubber tree?
Yeah.
That's two options.
Maybe they're all rubber trees.
They could all be rubber trees. That's
Have we considered that the ground below it might have been raised as well?
Oh, no,
maybe the trees aren't taller. Maybe they're just higher up.
Is that not the same thing?
No.
No? Because if the ground raises...
No, look.
It's the same thing.
Look, I say, look, this is me getting higher up and I jump on a rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And then I jump back down and go, this is me getting bigger. And I trigger the Duergar ring and get bigger. See, they're two extremely different things.
Okay, fine.
Sorry, see, they're two extremely different things.
Yes, you become a radio announcer.
Yes, this is my Big Bren voice.
And now we have Big Bren bringing you the weather.
Big Booming Bren.
As the weatherman tries to determine whether this was a logical anomaly or a meaty one.
Are we being stealthy right now? I take it off again.
But yeah, you all bed down for the night, or do you?
This is the second night.
This is the second night. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I was so cavalier with using that ring charge just then.
Yeah, Sid is very much doing. I would like to do a nature check and check out, you know, with my book and stuff, and see if I can figure out anything that's going on with the ground.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
I mean, are we close enough to be able to examine the?
You're maybe like 6 miles away, so. It's...
Does the soil here seem like it's been affected?
Give me a nature check.
Or would herbalism...
Actually, you know what? I'll say an herbalism kit would be okay.
Okay.
Because it's the same kind of vibe of what you're going for, yeah.
16.
You are quite confident that the foliage here has not been affected.
Okay.
Fine. How are those plants?
Normal.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Right, well, look, fuck, I'm going to sleep. See you later.
Yeah, does Sid also go to sleep?
Yes.
Look how scared you've made
me. I know, it's crazy. Such an innocuous question. Like, I was like, I'm just trying to move the scene along.
Like, yeah, but while...
Or am I?
While Sid's sleeping, like, I do want to try and be practicing, like, my dream stuff. See if I can see how well I can get into the dream escape, you know? Get a little bit more comfortable with it.
Okay.
I want to spend that as my attunement to the dreaming circlet.
Sure. I really like that. I think that's cool.
Rather than just say, ooh, I'm attuned.
Yeah. Tell you what, give me... Ooh. I guess give me a wisdom check.
Cool.
You've done historically very well with these for dream checks.
Yeah.
14.
Okay, so a 14. Not bad. You're attuned to it. Anyway, that's fine. And I think as you kind of like enter the space between waking or, you know, falling asleep and being awake, you kind of, your consciousness is able to kind of like drift out slightly. You don't get like a full, like, you can't see everything that's going on, but you get just general vibes from the area, you know? And there is a lot of frustration vibes from the town. It seems to be like kind of like frustration mixed with disappointment. It's the kind of general vibes you get. And then you get something, just a general feeling of things just being out of whack a little bit from further on beyond that, where you would know this forest is.
Okay.
You don't really get kind of anything more than that, but they're your kind of general things. That this happens kind of as you're falling asleep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you guys wake up in the morning, and you are kind of, you know, just, as I said, you're kind of like northwest of this town, with the where this thunderstorm was kind of like southeast to you. What do you do? Are you investigating it? Are you trying to avoid it?
The town or the thunderstorm?
Both.
Listen, it is our job as a band to be able to go and, you know, solve these issues. I think that Michaela would want us to go out there and check this out. And if there's, you know, meaty anomalies going on, that's probably Hoot's force. And so then that gives us a cool opportunity, Bryn, to cut their fucking heads off.
That's fucked, man. That's fucked. Why don't we take a more tactile approach or tactful approach and maybe, you know, see what's going on before we leap to, like, the prospect of decapitation.
Okay, fine. We'll go in sneaky, but I'm just saying, maybe we can find some Hoots Force to, you know, disembowel.
Bloodthirsty little guy, aren't you?
I'm just saying, it needs to be done. Like rabid dogs.
Whoa.
I give a very concerned glance to Melody.
Yeah, they also give it the same one back. You're having these conversations, you're packing up, getting all your bedrolls and things together, and you said you're kind of going sneakily around, trying to have a look. And as you circumvent the
town.
The town, it's more kind of like almost like it's like a large village, small town. And as you work around it, there's a kind of like a large clearing kind of in your path towards the this forest. And in this clearing, you see like a flurry of activity, a load of wagons and like what looks like to be like a convoy of caravans all like packing down. And you just see, just before they take it down, a sign that says Vespuccio's Caravan of Curiosities. And you see a little gnome, he's kind of like running around this clearing, kind of like shouting out orders. He's got like, you know, very kind of like coppery skin, more kind of what we would associate with like kind of like, you know, Southeast Asian kind of like features and stuff. He looks relatively old. He's got that kind of like old man hair around here where they just kind of refuse to admit that they're balding, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's walking, he's kind of just like, seems to be in the center of activity, kind of just like, you know, directing people and telling people like where to put things and that kind of thing. And everything seems to be just like a big flurry of activity, kind of like, which is, you know, and this is like very early in the morning, as if they're kind of just packing up.
Okay, hold on.
You obviously,
they're about to be going somewhere. We need to figure out where they're going, so we can watch their next show.
It's a fucking circus. Why don't we just ask? They want to tell us where they're going.
Yeah, that's hold probably
on.
True.
No, hold on, Sid. Should we fucking join the circus?
No, I don't think I want to join the circus. I just want to watch it. If I'm in it, then I can't watch it. At least all the acts.
I bet I'm better than their acrobats. I bet I'm better than their acrobats.
Yeah, but are you going to be, I don't know, what else is in a circus?
I mean, fuck, can their friends do this? I jump up, lock the staff in the air and start doing like swinging lachets out of it.
I love that so much. Give me an acrobatics check, please.
Fuck yes.
That is great.
21, dirty 21.
Dirty 21.
Not that I can get a natural 21. Very dirty 21. I've got a big modifier.
You got a +9 on that, boy.
I do, yeah. I'm a springy boy. Hot stuff rises, you see.
Fuck off.
Tell me this, Bren.
Yes.
What does Bren look like right now?
Well, see, right now Bren has been traveling as Bren. Because we've been doing stealthy, he's felt comfortable enough to be in his own skin.
Okay, sure.
But, right, and a bit of table talk. The way we had been doing this was a bit clunky with the backgrounds chart.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have an NPC generator. Okay. A random NPC generator.
Yeah, I'm happy for you to use that.
Yeah.
I'm also happy for you to say, to kind of just give you a choice of what you look like, because realistically, you could have just gone on and off until you found something that you liked and is suitable. Like, I think that's also okay to have Dawn.
I mean, yeah, I kind of like the chaos of like chaos
is fun.
Maybe at least
it starts to hurt you the more you put it on.
Because it's like a mixture between the disguise self and an alter self spell because it gets rid of your tail, which is and your horns, just the big thing.
Because like hats sit flat on my head and stuff. Yes. So it would be a physical transformation.
Yeah, yeah. I love this idea. Real starts animorph to hurt your style. Tail, like. Yeah.
Yeah, do the animorph transformation. No, I just generally move between like shitty photoshops of me. And okay, here we go.
So, morphs so
look,
much.
If we're going in here, I can't go in here au naturel. I have to disguise myself.
Yeah, they might make you join.
Shit,
I feel like this is the one place where you could just be yourself.
No, I've got a reputation. If the Hootsforce heard that someone matching my description was seen here, they'd come in all guns blaring. Okay,
they'd
here we
here
go. On.
And we could kill them?
I can't hear you. I'm transforming into Salvador Bladewalker, a 23-year-old male half-elf farmer. So I'm just a half-elf in like a dungarees and a fucking shirt.
So ridiculous.
I love it.
That is currently doing big gymnastic spins on your...
I do is I'm on the bar as Bren. I do like two full circles, leap off, backflip, and in the middle of the backflip, put on the ring and come down as Salvador.
And go, yeehaw!
Yeah. No, it takes me a second to see myself, and then I go, righto.
As you do this, like, this is not a stealthy thing to have done at all.
I mean, with a 21, I think I could have done it pretty stealthy. Ninja style.
But you weren't rolling for stealth.
You weren't rolling for stealth.
Yeah, but I'm also a monk. Everything I do is relatively quiet, like. I'm not trying to be stealthy.
Think that, however, this gnome, who you probably assume is Vespuccio himself, has an eye for talent.
Oh, shit, yeah. It would be drawn.
And you see, in the midst of all this chaos of packing down, this gnome kind of just like turns, whips his head around, like kind of looks up to see you like flat, like, you know, flying through the sky, and he runs over as fast as his little gnome legs can take him, and he's like, "Mamma mia! Never seen a quick change act and acrobatics. Wow!
Quick change, you saw that, eh? Yeah, how'd you, you know?
Well, your clothes were different."
I look at Sydney. Better than their anchor pants.
Oh, I don't know. Madame Twist has got quite the twist.
Madame Twist? Oh, well, that sounds interesting, all right. So, sorry, my name is Salvador. How are you?
I'm a Vespuccio of the famous Vespuccio Caravan of Curiosities.
Oh, from the sign.
From the sign. It's on the ground now, but it's still the sign.
Sid, he has a sign.
I forgot the sign.
We don't have a sign. We
should
get a sign.
Where's your sign? Are you here to join the caravan?
Maybe this is your sign to bring me into your caravan.
I just want to watch.
Salvador with an X. Okay, so Vespuccio, we're big fans of the circus. When is your next performance?
Oh, the performance! Oh, it can't happen today. We've gotten run out of town.
You got ran out of town?
Well, he kind of like gives you guys like a kind of like an eye up and down. He looks at Fink a lot. He seems to be very interested in Fink. He's like, before that is the little rat. For sale? Does he want to join? Got money to see that rat like that, huh?
No, he's part of the band.
Oh, a band? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Not sure. Bands can be a little bit tricky.
Why?
We had a band and then they saw some lightning and decided to run off. Stole my jug.
Sounds craven to me.
Stole your jug?
Yeah, my jug.
What is your jug?
It's a jug.
I hand him the jug I stole from town.
Here you go. He like pours it like, no, my jug has an infinite beer.
Well, that one had a bit of beer into it until you poured it upside down.
Yeah. And they just took it.
What band was it?
The Motley Crue.
Oh.
Fucking 12 of them. Just a big crew of people, and they were really good at having a big fight, and everyone was laughing at them with all their wild antics, and then they got really drunk drinking my infinite beer, and then a thunderstorm appeared over the forest, and they're like, oh, let's go into the forest and have a big fight.
I mean, they had basically the same idea we did then. We wanted to go into the forest and have a big fight.
There was all these rumors about some, like, lightning beast around, and so they thought they could go kill it.
A lightning beast?
Yeah. What?
Come on, Bryn. We gotta go.
Sid, baby, we already fucked that thing.
You already fought the lightning beast.
What?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Not 2 days ago, we fought a fucking lightning beast.
Yeah, all the people around here have been talking about they've seen a lightning beast over the past kind of week or so.
I got stuck in its mouth.
Is that... That can't be the same one that we've seen in the distance.
I don't know. Did we see a lightning beast in the distance? We saw a lightning storm.
We saw a lightning storm.
Ah, there's a big lightning storm, but I mean... I don't know, these mother crew, they're kind of dumb.
So, like, I... Frankly, Vespuccio, good friend, I don't care. I want to see the circus. When are you... where are you setting up again?
Ah, we're traveling to the east. We're kind of hitting all of, like, the small towns. We're going to kind of, you know, make a name for ourselves. And then when we become super famous, then we go and get to Vallegar.
Sorry, Vespuccio.
Yeah.
Saying all the right things. 1 second. Got to have a quick team huddle over here.
Guys, sure.
Internal huddle time.
Yeah.
Fink, get in here.
Frank.
Right, so listen. Here's the thing, right? We need to make a name for ourselves, or we're not going to get into the Battle of the Bands in Azumakia, where he's heading.
Yeah?
Why don't we fucking join the circus? We can travel with Vespuccio, make a name for ourselves, and be hot shit when we arrive in Azumakia.
What if we make a name with Vespuccio for getting his stuff back?
But Vespuccio doesn't give... I mean...
I'm right here.
What the fuck are you doing in the huddle?
Oh, get out of here, Vespuccio. This is a big part of it.
Fucking creepy gnome.
I love this guy.
Okay. Do you want to hear a joke?
Oh, fuck, he's still here. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Sid loves this guy.
You know, in Vallegar, they got these things called factories.
Yes.
And what do you call one of these factories that
only
makes
it like
good
that?
Products?
What?
A satisfactory.
Oh! Sid loves that guy.
That hits. That just... You do, like, I've got a tight five. Do you do comedy? I've got a tight five, if that's a thing you do. Sid, come on.
Love to laugh.
Mel, come on. It only makes sense. Let's join the fucking circus. Are you still here, Vespuccio?
Yeah.
I just want to watch the circus.
Do you want a bit of
I
privacy?
I
want to
join the fucking... Yes, please.
Vespuccio. Okay, I'll go over here. I still probably listen in a little bit.
At least you're honest. Okay, guys, I... You know, maybe it's just a Bryn thing, but I'm fucking feeling this. Sorry, maybe it's just a Zal thing, but I'm fucking feeling this. This is the way
you
go.
You can use a fake name. It's okay with me. We all have the stage name. All right. This isn't even my real accent.
I mean, I'm okay with traveling with the circus and, like, you know, you being a part of the circus.
Yeah, look, if you don't feel up to it, that's absolutely fine. But I'm a big boy and I'm going to join the circus.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how that works with our contract we already have with Michaela.
I mean, it doesn't say we can't join a circus specifically, does it? Is there a line in there that says I can't join a circus?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mel, are you up for it?
I there was this story about a dog that played basketball in Azumaki once, and he could do it because in the rules it didn't say they couldn't have a dog. So, I mean, I think it's the same logic applies to not being able to join a circus.
How dare you reference the award-winning Air Bud.
Did Air Bud win awards?
I hope not.
I saw that. I saw him. He was immaculate. And if only I could be so grossly incandescent. Melody.
Yeah.
He was a golden retriever, so that
I love
sense.
An audience.
I love an audience.
You love a stage. Vespuccio, how many rings in your circus?
I forgot my accent again. What do you mean rings?
Like, are you a one-ring circus, two-ring circus, three-ring circus?
We got just the one that kind of got here. We got a big tent that we put up.
Gonna make the most of that and say all eyes will be on us when we perform.
Oh, we could do any... We need the performers. There's only... six of us.
How much are you paying, Vespuccio? Okay. Looks like we're in this for the prestige, Mel.
Tell you what, you bring back my jug, free beer.
I mean, Yeah, okay, fine. That's good for someone else.
It could be different. It could be...
Can you make apple cider vinegar come out of that thing?
Sure.
Fuck me. I'm in. Mel?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Sid, you sure? You could be like, you know, like shooting bottles off a wall. What is it you do?
Actually, that brings up a good point. Because if this circus, if you're as good as you say you are...
Better, probably. I underestimate myself.
That will bring in the attention. And everybody's going to want to see it. And then the Hoots Force will maybe come to a show. And then...
The Hoots Force. They were the ones who told us to pack up. Said they couldn't go into the forest.
Yeah, cool.
We need to leave.
The Hoots Force said you shouldn't go into the forest?
Yeah. They came there and were talking to us. And then we said, Motley Crue got into the forest. And said, okay, well, we go get the Motley Crue. And then that was
the
like...
The Hoots Force went in to get the Motley Crue?
Yeah, that's not. When they ran, like, they came after them. But the Hoots Force have been there not since last night. The night before when the Thunder was there.
Sid starts... reaching and messing with Khan's sword on his back.
That's a bigger sword.
Not, you know, it's not quite a big just sword. Like, yeah. Kind of like, you know, absentmindedly like touching it, you know?
Yeah.
I am very on board with going and getting this jug back.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you're on board with. All right, Vespuccio. So here's the deal. We go, we get your infinite booze back and we can join the circus.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, right.
This sounds like all wins for Vespuccio.
He's like, that's a double win for me.
It's all win. It's a mutually beneficial arrangement, Vespuccio. Consider Salvador, whatever my second name is, in.
We come up with a good stage name for you.
I already have a good
You could
name.
Be Salvador. Mr. Twist.
I'm more of a flip kind of guy.
I know. We already have a couple in the man and wife in the show anyway. That crosswires.
Salvador Windrunner. Yes. That's it. Non-negotiable. Let's go.
Okay, perfect.
Right, let's go. And hey, Sid, don't fucking stop suggesting using me as bait, yeah?
Why?
Because I'm more than bait, I hope.
I know.
All right, fine.
You
let's
throw
go.
Punches, right?
I'm about to.
What a great bait. Can you imagine? You put down bait to get a fish, and not only does the fish come over to try and get the worm, but then the worm beats the shit out of it. And drags the fish up. That's the best bait.
Yeah, cool.
You're kind of talking all about crazy things. I just want my jerk bag. If the Motley Crue were alive, tell them they're fired. You say guys seem better as a band.
Yeah.
You can also do some cool fighting things between each other, yeah?
Yeah, kind of feeling that right now. Okay, so let's come up with a plan. What we maintaining stealth? We're going to go in all guns brenning? What's the plan?
Stealth.
Stealth? Okay, cool. I'm... now insanely good at that.
Good? What do you mean now?
Well, I have this, and I twinkle my Invisifinger.
Oh, yeah.
And that Invisifinger, I think, is only like on a reaction you get to go invisible for a thing.
Okay, cool. Punch me.
It's not like a ring of invisibility.
Oh, that's okay.
Just so you know. Just so you know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me how you're going about that. And Vespuccio was like, we just finished the packing, but we got to go because we need to go to the next town and kind of get set up. But you guys could just meet us there.
What's the next town? Give me the name of it right now.
Ryan, why don't you give me the name of the next town? You would Sid know this.
Sid does know this.
But Ryan will just stall for time a little bit until something comes to his mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the best thing to do. So, it's near Azumakia.
Nowhere near Azumakia. It's still kind of near. You're still in the northwest of that one. You guys are a long way away.
Oh, I see.
Like, you guys have only been traveling 2 days. You have another, practically a month of travel still. Like, you guys just set off.
Okay. I can't think of a name, actually. I'm really struggling here.
Hold on. Sorry, I was busy trying to Google my ring.
In northwest.
Northwest of town. It's still in the township of town. It would be called village northwest
of
town.
Because it wouldn't. Because only town is named,
This is on the very northern borders of the Forest of Estor, which, you know, there's like a lot of like elven, obviously elves in the forest.
Yeah, so it means like and then
Rowanar is kind of like to the north.
It would be the village of Aldemir.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to have an elfy name, you know?
Aldemir
is as elfy as it gets.
Yeah.
Or it can be a French-sounding name, because that's fun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Aldemir.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Aldemir.
Yeah. And they get really pissy if you don't pronounce it Aldemir. Yeah.
And then they have the...
It's actually just M-E-H-H-H.
That's to the southwest, is it?
No, so that's the next town to the east.
East. So the next town to the west would be Windermere.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. You're actually currently in Windermere, and the next one is Aldermere.
Aldermere. Yeah. Okay. There you go. World
there
built.
There we go.
Vespucius tells you that Aldermere is the next town over that he's planning on visiting with his caravan of curiosity, but that the Motley Crue went in not last night, the night before, in the middle of the thunderstorm, they went running in, and that the Hoots Force arrived last night, so like basically a day after it happened. And this would kind of track with what Cid would know, how they operate. They kind of seem to have some sort of way of knowing when weird things happen, then kind of come and investigate. And it seems like this is kind of right out of their kind of playbook, you know?
Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
Cid's so excited.
And they have gone in.
But not happy, excited.
Yeah. And they have also gone in now as well.
Oh, just before we disappear, Vespuccio?
Yeah.
Could you describe the members of the Hoots Force just so we know what we're dealing with?
Oh, sure. One of them was a cleric. One of them had like a bow and arrow, like some sort of a ranger. And the other one just had a load of weapons, like as if he was a fighting man.
Okay, good. Accurate. Thank you.
Ha ha.
Yes. Cool.
Do you want to hear another joke?
My tight five is going to be real easy with this guy.
You know why I came on this this adventure with the caravans? I had to leave the home. My wife, she was really mad at me all the time. She said, I have no sense of direction. So I just packed up my stuff and I ride.
Jesus Christ. Okay, very good. I don't know how I feel about this guy.
Cid has made a new page in his book and been like,
Vespuccio,
you know,
is a creature.
Gnome mutated with the god of humor.
Very good.
And he also tells you that the Hoots Force either haven't come back to him. He doesn't know if they've, like, he just knows that they went in last night. He hasn't seen them since, but he doesn't really care. They basically just told him that he needs to leave this area.
Yeah.
But what do you do?
We stealth into the woods, right?
Well, yeah, like start doing going around the perimeter just to get an idea of what we're looking at of this area, you know, in the woods.
Yeah, scout the place out.
Sure, yeah, cool.
Cid would like to kind of, you know, start scouting, you know, touch the ground or whatever and get an idea of what beasts are in area.
Cool. Is this like your...
It's my favorite enemy.
Okay, yes.
So my primeval.
Read out what that does for me.
So it's two different things. One, my primeval awareness. It is the favorite enemies. I can see if any of my favorite enemies are within 5 miles per group. I sense the number, general direction, distance, and type.
And your favorite enemies, is that still beasts or has that changed now to...
Hoots Force.
No, once I get greater favorite... No, it's still... I haven't been given an option to change it, but it is beasts at the moment.
Okay.
Once I get greater, I would have beasts and monstrosities unless I just make it fucking Hoots Force.
Okay, so you kind of commune with the ground, kind of like send out... Kind of, you know, again, entering the Dream Theater slightly, kind of, you know, using your... Circle of the Dreamers, kind of like Cerebo out a bit to find out some any beasts, and you get a sense of a load of critters and little beasties and birdies all around you and around the town, but specifically you don't notice any beasts in this particular spot of the forest where you know the Motley Crue went into and this big thunderstorm was.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and so as you're kind of like, I think with that as well, and the fact that you're kind of like circling around and trying to get a feel for it, I'm going to say that like you obviously have, like you've probably ranged into this forest before. You know, like it's not too far out from town. You've probably been here, and you're kind of like your trained senses of what like a forest should be is like kind of like tingling. You're getting a bit of like a ranger tingle going on.
Well, I was actually going to ask you, they said that one of the Hoots Force members was a ranger.
Yes.
So I'm specifically looking out for anything he would have
his
marked
bond.
Or...
Okay, yeah, cool. Give me a survival check.
12.
You don't see any kind of direct mark or tracks from him.
I want to, because you're being very graceful and looking for, you know, marks of a ranger. I want to find, if I can, some hint of the fighter man who would be leaving heavy footsteps because he's got loads of weapons and heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And the ground was a bit muddy.
Tell you what, yeah, you can also give me a survival check.
17.
17. You, that kind of like talk comes to your mind and you're like, okay, if there's someone who's like armed to the teeth, they're probably...
It's not that I'm good at the wild and the rangery stuff, but being a monk, I know how to look for, you know, other combatants and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I can track him because I'm a fucking monk.
And I'm going to say with that, you don't find any tracks or signs of the Tree Hoots Force. But you definitely find tracks, even though they're like a couple of days old now, of like the dozen Motley Crue. Like, they were not in any way subtle about what they're doing. But there's maybe, you would expect or suspect some sort of magic at play here.
Does this thunderstorm include rain?
Yes.
Okay.
So the ground's going to be mucky and full of prints.
Yes, exactly. And so there's still like a little bit of mud there. So you would expect to find prints for sure. But I guess, Sid, you know, Herman would have told you about spells like Pass Without Trace and things like that, you know?
That's why I'm trying to look for, you know, maybe if he had even marked himself, you know, like a mark on a tree or anything like that, something, a ranger marking.
No, you don't seem to find anything like that. And yeah, this whole forest is just kind of giving you a weird kind of a vibe. And you're kind of on the like perimeter of it. You haven't fully gone in. But as you're looking in, you see that a lot of these trees and bushes and things like that seem as if they have grown a lot. Like, everything is... And like, it's a forest beside a town. This kind of area would be probably fairly well walked through, foraged in, hunter's paths and stuff like that. Any kind of remnant that you would find of those, completely now grown over, apart from kind of like one, actually not even. You would see the tracks of the Motley Crue go through, but where they've gone through, there's like now like branches and things all crisscrossing all over the place, as if it's grown a lot in the past 2 days.
Based on some of the things we've run into in the past, as we're going to be going stealthy into this, I'm also covering Fink in mud because a lot of
predators
think that he is prey.
Okay, yeah,
that
nice.
We have run and you've used that on me a lot.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Things smelling Fink. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm covering Fink.
Yeah, nice. Love it.
Because if it's a monstrosity, it's going to, I think it can eat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so do you guys go into the forest?
Yeah, follow the 100%
tracks. Stealth.
100% stealth. Yeah. Give me stealth checks.
Not letting me use my passive stealth this time.
No.
18 for me.
Oh, shit.
26 for me.
Fuck me. yeah, you guys stealth into the forest and, you know, you're going very slowly because it's so overgrown. So you're kind of having to, like, take real circuitous routes to kind of get through things. You're doing your best because you're going so stealthy. You're not trying to, like, just hack down branches and stuff to get your way. So it's taking quite a while to get through. But as you get closer, you begin to hear just like hooting and hollering in the middle of the forest. Can't quite make out what they say. And we will investigate this on the next episode.
Ooh. I'm going to fucking fight these guys.
Did you say I'm going to fuck and fight these guys?
First one, then the other. We'll find each other in the fight. Real close.
Oh, Lordy.
What's my name? Zalvador. Zalvador, don't fucking play around.
Yeah. That is it for this episode. As I won't say as always, but well, as always, thank you for listening. That's been great. We really appreciate it. If you've been enjoying this and you've made it this far, or, you know, if this is your first episode and you've just jumped in at the G-Drop, please leave us reviews, ratings, tell your friends, all that good stuff, because it genuinely really, 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 really helps.
I thought that's something YouTubers and shit just said.
but it actually really helps.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's wild. But anything you do, the biggest thing you do is tell other people to listen to us. But if, you know, all your friends already listen, then just rate and review.
Send us money. Oh, yeah, rate and review. Yeah.
Also, send us money.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
But do subscribe to our Patreon. It's really fun. You get the backstage pass, which is us deconstructing and talking about every episode. Yep.
Art of us fucking fighting thing. What?
Yeah.
You get sexy stickers of the characters. And then the higher tiers get clothing. We put clothes on your back.
And another thing that they do is they get us, well, they get Con to read out some messages. So
oh, fuck, yeah.
Here's
the first time we have to do
Con's call-outs, because this is the first time we've recorded since we launched our Patreon.
Nice. Let me get my list. You stay right there. All right, well, welcome to the first ever Con's Callouts. I am your host, Con Greystone, recently deceased, of course. Apologies for the spoilers. So, for our first callout, I'm going to say, how you going, Kira? And as well, to all of the Demigod Chronicles players, take it from someone who fucking hates God. You're doing a good job over there. Secondly, I'd like to say hello to Sneaky Boy, the fiercest rogue in the world. He's a wonder in the kitchen, and he fair reminds me of the Devil of Hell's Kitchen as well. What a man. And then lastly, we have the rookie DM. He'll get there somewhere and become a professional DM. He's an incredibly nice guy. But also, check out his socials, whatever the fuck socials are. Because he's really, really, really intuitive in what he puts up on them. And there's a lot of decent information up there. Take it from me. I can read. And that's Con's Callouts, the first ever one. Hopefully they'll get better with time when I work out what the fuck I'm doing here. But,
this is Con in the afterlife.
Stay dangerous. This is the hell I've been left in. Right, back to Jim.
Thank you, everybody, for
listening. If it was your first time listening, welcome aboard.
Yeah, and
stay dangerous.
Bye.
Brittany has forever influenced the way we end this show.